Well, good morning, Northwoods. We are so glad you're here with us the first Sunday in June. My name is Kayla.
My name is Josh.
And again, we are so glad that you're here with us at Northwoods. Now, I have a feeling there's probably some people tuning in. This is your first time, maybe your second. If we have not connected with you, I encourage you to text new to the number on the screen. That's going to put you in communication with a real person, with a pastor who wants to just help you become part of Northwoods, answer any questions you might have, and again, just help you get connected as this is a new church for you.
Yeah, and obviously you're joining online, so please feel free to drop your name here on the chat. Mm-hmm. Let us know where you're tuning in from. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We'd love to connect with you. And also, there is a prayer chat, so if there's anything specifically that we could be praying for you about, please feel free to drop that prayer request on there and someone's going to connect with you directly.
That's right. Also, for our service today, we will be taking communion together as a church. So you're watching online or in the car or out and about, just if you have some elements you can get ready, I encourage you to have those ready because during the service, we will be taking communion together. So I think that's all we have for him this morning. So enjoy the service.
Let's stand to our feet and worship our God together this morning.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb.
sing it out together.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Come on, sing it out today. Who said?
For God so
takes care of everything. All of the rich riches of his love always be more than enough. When I can't see ahead, you already have a plan. You're my firm foundation, you are steady to the end. When I stumble and fall, you are reaching out your hand. You're my patient father and my faithful friend. In every good thing in my life comes out from the Father of lights. He never changes, he never lies. His love is keeping me alive. I don't have to worry for what I need. He takes care of everything. All of the riches of his love always be more than enough. So show me your light. Open my eyes to your goodness. Oh, your goodness. Oh, you are the truth. There's no shadow in you. You are faithful. You are. Sing it out. Comes down from the Father of lights. He never changes.
Says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Church, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus did on that cross. Let's thank him for his love and his mercy. And today, let's give him all the honor and all the glory. It all belongs to him. Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, you're walking in the dirt with you and me. In
knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering. Come on, we'll sing today. Oh, bloody tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Oh, hallelujah to the Son of suffering. Some imagine you are distant and removed, but you chase us down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you were grace, and the broken you embraced. And in the end the proof is in your wounds. Yes, in the end the proof was in your wounds. Oh, blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who weeps. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Oh, hallelujah to the Son of suffering. Sing hallelujah. All praise to you. We say, your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking, your love is still reaching, and all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God. Come on, sing it again. We say your cross.
Your cross. Suffering,
yeah, come on.
Your stripes, my healing,
all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God. We say your blood. Your blood is still speaking. Your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. who weeps. There's a God who believes. And oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Oh, hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Oh, hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
Sing it again.
Oh, hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
Oh, we sing.
Oh, hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
That Jesus didn't just look down from heaven on our pain and suffering in a world mired in sin, but he entered into this world in our pain and our suffering, and he bore it all on the cross. Are you thankful for Jesus this morning, church? We love you, Jesus. And as we think about all that Jesus has done for us, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, I thought this might be a good moment for us to just stop and come around the communion table again together this morning. So if you would, I want to ask you to take your seat. And if you have your elements, your communion elements, you can go ahead and take those out now. If you're joining us online, now would be the time to grab those as well. Communion is something that we continually do, something that continually happens throughout the life of a believer. And as we come around the communion table again this morning, I want to remind you that we're not just coming around the table together to remember, as if we're just remembering the pain and the agony that Jesus went through. That's not an unworthy thing to do. But we're coming around the table to, yes, remember, but also to receive all that Christ purchased for us on the cross. We just sang, your stripes, my healing, and your blood is still speaking. And so we come with that attitude this morning that we're going to receive again all that Christ purchased for us. And so you can peel off the top layer there. The bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. And I want you to think about that. It says again, your stripes, my healing. That Jesus purchased healing for us on the cross. Yes, we can think about that as healing in our physical body, but also you can think about that as healing for your soul. The Bible says in Psalm 23 that he restores our soul. Healing for our mind, will, emotions. And so the Bible says that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it and given thanks, he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. And then we know that the cup represents Jesus' blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And we just sang, his blood is still speaking. It's true. What is his blood speaking? His blood is speaking forgiveness. Not only have we been forgiven the penalty of our sin, but his blood is speaking freedom. We've been set free from the power of sin in our lives. Speaks redemption, deliverance, healing. And so again, as we partake, just ask Jesus right now, just thank him again for his sacrifice. And let's just say again, Jesus, we receive everything that you purchased for us on the cross this morning. The Bible says that after supper, in the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. So Jesus, we thank you again that you aren't a God who is distant and removed, but you entered into the world. You lived a perfect life, and then you gave your life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And then 3 days later, you rose again in our life today. And so, Lord, we give you, Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory today. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we love you and we praise your name in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, get up for the Lord. We love you, Lord. Northwoods, it's so good to be together again in the house of the Lord. Been a hot week out there. Holy cow, another hot one today. But glad you made it in today. And for those of you joining online, great to have you with us as well. If you're visiting with us today, my name's John, the senior pastor here at Northwoods, and we would love to connect with you. So if you're a guest, we have a number on the screen that's going to be coming up, and you can actually just text the word new to that number, and someone from our team would love to connect with you. Again, we just want to be a resource for you, answer any questions you might have about your journey here at Northwoods, and again, just want to be helpful and a connection point for you. And so on behalf of myself and all of our staff, all the people at Northwoods, we just want to say welcome. So glad to have you here on this Sunday. And if you call Northwoods home, you know we also have a connection card on the app that you can fill out. You might be wondering sometimes, why do I need to fill this out? Well, you don't have to. We just include it as something, as a way to connect with you. It's a way for us to not only know who's here, but also it's a way for you to connect with us at Northwoods. You can ask questions, you can submit prayer requests, and you can also find out more information about anything that we talk about today. So we really just want it to be a resource to you as well. So that's the connection card. Now, Father's Day is in 2 weeks, coming up on June 18th. And on Father's Day weekend, so Saturday, June 17th, we're going to be hosting a Father's Day event here at Northwoods. It's going to be a car show, axe throwing. We're going to have a whole hog roast. Come on, somebody, for some barbecue, all right? So we're going to have some fun. It's going to be fun, family, food. And so we just want to create an event where you can bring your family out and have a good time on Father's Day weekend. So that will be happening here on Saturday, June 17th. Again, you can get more information about that on the connection card or online at northwoods.church. Now, if you were here last Sunday or you listened last Sunday, you know that we had one of our international ministry partners here with us, Kirk Nowry of Hope Partners International. They have hope centers all around the world, and they're helping to rescue children and women, through compassion in Jesus' name. They stick with women and children and girls all the way from young age, all the way through college. And so they're doing great things. And last week, you got to hear from Kirk Nowry. And Kirk actually sent, after he came here, he wanted to just send you a quick thank you video for your generosity to Hope Partners. So I want to direct your attention to the screens.
Hello, Northwoods Church. I'm Kirk Nowry, and you remember me from last weekend. I couldn't let this Sunday pass without the opportunity to say thank you. What God did last week through you is extraordinary. Back when I was in college, I remember hearing the stories of a legendary missionary and his wife by the name of George and Mary Mueller. They started building orphanages in England. Just a handful of children. It grew into the hundreds. One morning, Mary came into George Mueller's office and said, "We have no milk for any of the children." And George Mueller, steady and believing in God, got down on his knees and prayed because he believed deeply that Philippians 4:19 is what they would live by. The Bible says he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Having the opportunity to speak at Northwoods last weekend, they put me in the chapel in a bride's room to get ready for the services. And before that first service, I remembered that story of George Mueller. Before he got done praying that prayer, a knock came at the orphanage door, and Mary went to the door. A man was standing there with an envelope and said, "God's led me to make this gift." And it was enough money to get food for all of those children. That's what happened last weekend at Northwoods. If you looked at the projects I shared, the van, the new 450 women and children coming out of Ukraine, I asked you to help. You met all of those needs. You sponsored more than 50 children. It's the most remarkable weekend Hope Partners International has ever had since our founding 11 years ago. Your generosity is a mark of being fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you. Our team wants to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are Hope Partners International.
So, church, I just want to thank you again. That's amazing. And that is true, that Kirk coming here speaking, the response giving-wise was the greatest weekend he's ever had speaking at a church. And I just, again, want to thank you for your generosity here at Northwoods. It's amazing. I'm always amazed. You know, sometimes you look at the statistics of some of the most generous churches in the country, and I'll just tell you right now, this is not me blowing smoke, you could put Northwoods up against any church in the country, and we would be considered one of the most generous churches in the country. And so, church, I want to thank you again for your heart for the kingdom. You are making a difference. And I say it all the time. It's our giving that fuels the growth of what God is doing in our community and all around the world. And that happened last Sunday. And so I want to say thank you. And again, if you would like to give today, there's black boxes in the back of the auditorium where you can give. You can give online. You can text to give. There's many different ways you can choose to do that. But however you do it, again, from the bottom of our heart and bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. You are a blessing to this community and many of our partners all around the world. And so thank you for that. Now, today we are continuing in a series we started last week. We're in the second week of a series called Five Things God is Looking For. And when I was dreaming about this series last year, how it kind of started is I became aware as I was reading again through God's Word that there's many places in God's Word where it talks about God looking for something, looking for a certain attribute in people, looking for a person. And there's several passages in the Bible like that. And I just had the thought as I read a few of these that, you know what, anytime it says that God is looking for something, I should really pay attention to that. And so that's the heart of this series, is taking, there's five different passages we're going to look at that says God is looking for something. Last week, Kirk shared a little bit about how God is looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. And today we're going to continue and look at another passage that says what God is looking for. And to help with that, I'm excited that we're going to have our founding pastor, my dad, and some of you sometimes have asked me, you know, how's Pastor Cal doing? Is he staying busy? What's he doing these days? And let me just tell you, yes, he is staying busy. I barely see this guy because he has been traveling like crazy, doing church trainings, Israel tours. Him and my mom are heading out for some time after today. But again, I'm just so thankful that I can have him come in and speak. And so will you give it up for our founding pastor, Pastor Cal?
Thank you, John. Love you, buddy. All right. Great to see you guys. You sound like you're awake, got your coffee in you, ready to go. Can I hear you say, I'm ready? All right. That's what we want to be, ready. Because that's what we're talking about today. I want to welcome our online community and our friends at Canton. And again, as John mentioned, five things God is looking for. I just want, before I start, to add my voice to John's and to Kirk's, as you just heard that Hope Partner International update. I'm a board member for them, and I just returned from our in-person board meeting this week down in St. Petersburg, Florida. I was sitting at Kirk's table while he was doing that video. And I remember in the board meeting, as they were still calculating what this church did last week, the tears were just rolling down my face as Kirk talked about the greatest response they've ever had at a church. And so I was just so proud. And I just want to tell you how, again, just thank you for your incredible generosity, what it says about your kingdom commitment and dedication to the cause of Christ. As Kirk shared last week, God is looking for full devotion to Him, and certainly one of the signs of our devotion to Him is when we are open-hearted and open-handed in our resources, and we live with a willingness to give as the Spirit prompts us. Again, thank you for that. Now, part two of our series is entitled Developing a Go Mentality, and is drawn from Isaiah 6, and verse 8, where Isaiah the prophet says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Unless we say, yeah, but that was God's call to Isaiah." The truth is that Jesus Christ's last assignment to every one of his followers is recorded in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, this is what we're to be about until he comes again. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so the Lord puts it on every believer to develop and live with a go mentality. Whether he gives us a direct assignment to move to some other part of the world as a frontline ambassador, which he does for some people, or maybe for us it's to be supporters of those who are on the front lines, be it with Hope Partners or with Surge or for some of the other things we're involved with where people are physically putting themselves out there, but we're behind the scenes saying, I'm going to resource you since you're going in my place. It's a go mentality. One of the greatest signs of maturity in our lives is our willingness to go. Think of that as to take the initiative in whatever the Lord calls us to do. It may be to go across the room to welcome somebody that looks like they're alone. It may be to go across the street to welcome a new neighbor or to serve an old one. It may be to go and be reconciled to someone where pain and division have ruined a relationship. Jesus actually said in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, if you are offering your gift at the altar, he's talking about the context of worship, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something with you. What did he say? First, leave your gift there at the altar. Go, see? Take the initiative as a mature follower of Jesus. Go and be reconciled. For mature disciples who have developed a go mentality, listen, it is always on us to take the initiative whenever and wherever God says, go. Husbands and wives, I remember when Emerson Eggerich was here with the Love and Respect Conference a few years ago, and someone asked, well, you know, when a husband and wife are at an impasse and have had an argument and both feel justified in their position, they've been freezing each other out for 2 or 3 days, and, you know, the one's waiting for the other one to come and apologize, the other's waiting for the other to come and apologize, right? Anybody ever have those kind of issues? Or am I the only one, you know? Right? We can get into that place, well, I'm not the one who did it. They can come to me. And somebody asked him, who should be the first to go? I've never forgotten. Emerson's put in a whole nother context when he said, well, whoever's the most mature. So I want to know who's trying to be mature here today. Because it's always on us, if we're mature, to take the initiative when God says, go. And one sign of our maturity is our willingness to go. To take the initiative whenever and wherever the Lord asks us to go. But today, we want to look at this within the context of taking the gospel to the world from a passage in Isaiah 6. Now, I've put it up here on the screen. If you have it in your Bible, I want to just read this entire passage, Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. And it wasn't fog machines that were doing it. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth. And said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Now we could look further and understand that Isaiah's assignment was not an easy one. And was not one that had a lot of response from the people. He was rejected by God's people, but that's not the point. God issues the assignment. He's looking for people who will say, here I am, Lord. Send me. This is the response God is looking for from all those who claim to be his disciples today. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave Peoria or wherever you are and relocate to somewhere else in the world, though it may mean that for some. But it does mean that you bring to God that same inclination of the heart, a go mentality concerning any assignment he may give you. Here I am. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And so I want to look at four components of developing a go mentality today. And they're all right here in the text. Component number one is a clear vision. And when I say a clear vision, it's a clear vision of the majesty of God. A fresh vision of who God is, of his lordship in your life if you know him, and of his heart for the world to know his glory, and of his right to send you on unexpected assignments as he desires, right? If he's boss, you can't say, oh, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. You don't get to say, no, Lord. If he's Lord, you can't say no. And if you say no, he's not Lord. Yes, Lord. Before you ask, my answer is yes, Lord. Because of who you are. Guys, a desperate world needs ambassadors of hope, and God has no plan other than those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus. And it was into a time of desperation that his call came to Isaiah the prophet. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah, who was also known as Azariah, was the longest-serving king in Judah's history. For 52 years, from the age of 16 to the age of 68. And for the most part, he was a good king.
as long as he was listening to the Lord. In fact, 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5 has a word for us from his reign. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Later on, see, he didn't end well. His pride, the Bible says, led to his downfall. He started getting away from God. He was afflicted with leprosy, and so he didn't end well, and his life was shortened. But his reign, as he was following the Lord, had resulted in economic stability and all kinds of development, good times, sort of like a golden age, a golden era. And now that era was over, the future was uncertain, ominous clouds were gathering on the horizon. But what would the future hold? People are remembering the good old days. It undoubtedly felt to them a bit like things may feel to some of us today. Things in our country are off the rails. The Word of God and the Jesus it proclaims have been rejected in our country. Traditional values that we used to all agree upon have taken a back seat to those who put light for darkness and darkness for light. What used to be considered blatant immorality is now trumpeted in the streets, and those of us who object are haters. And it's easy to feel a sense of desperation, like it's all over for us. But servants of God with a go mentality always see something else above the fray, which makes them agents of hope, particularly in days of despair. I've always loved the story of a missionary looking down from her window one day and seeing an older man who looked like he was in the throes of depression. From the window, she dropped down a $100 bill tucked inside a note upon which were written only two words, "Don't despair." He looked up, slipped the $100 bill out of the little note. His eyes brightened. He tipped his hat, suddenly stood up and walked off as if he was in a hurry. The missionary feeling like, well, boy, I think that gave him a little bit of hope today. Later that evening, a knock came to her door, and when she opened it, she was surprised to see it was the same man she had sought to encourage a few hours earlier. He said, "Here you go," as he shoved a wad of bills totaling like $2,000 at her. She said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, Don't Despair paid 20 to 1 at the horse races today." Now, when God says don't despair, he doesn't usually have the horse races in mind. But listen, you get with him. You spend time with him in his throne room until your soul has gotten a fresh glimpse of his glory, and you'll come forth with a go mentality, buoyed by a fresh vision of the fact that no matter what upheaval may be happening on the political thrones of our earth, our God is still on his heavenly throne. He is still Lord. He is still in control. Friends, in spite of how bad and bleak things may look in our world right now, our world needs to hear from those who can say, "Yeah, but I've seen the Lord high and lifted up. He's still on the throne. He's still in control." And I would remind you today that he's just as high and exalted as he was in Isaiah's day. He still occupies the throne as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ has been raised and seated far above all rule and authority, power, and dominion. And we have been raised up with him no matter what is happening with the ever-changing landscape of human leadership. When things seem hopeless, those with a go mentality first consult with the real throne room. Amen? And it's from there that we can then emerge with a clear vision of who's really in control, with a clear vision of his lordship out of which flows the hope he wants us to offer a despairing world. It's the first component of a go mentality, a clear vision of the majesty of God. And some of you are in despair and downcast and all kinds of worries in your life today because you've been looking at human thrones. You need to get back to the throne room and see him high
and lifted up and hear him say, I'm still in control, and I'm the one who will make the decisions for where this world goes. Clear vision. Component number two is then a cleansed heart. See, many times we get a clear vision of God and his holiness, we can become undone. We see our sin. We see our inadequacy. We see our weakness. And we can wonder, how can God possibly use me? Isn't it great to know that one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament felt the same way? God has an answer for that. There was a day out on the farm when, knowing I was headed to Bible college as a young 18-year-old, just having graduated high school, knowing some of my private struggles of mind and heart, I would ask, Lord, who am I to become a preacher of the gospel? Lord, you see how far short I fall. Lord, do you know how sinful my heart is? Do you really want me to do this? I recognized that I was under enemy attack a lot of times. I had a serious wound that led to a lot of self-condemnation in my life. But there was a day that God reminded me that in Jesus Christ, through what Jesus had done for me at the cross, a hot coal from off the altar, as it were, had been applied to my mind and my heart and my lips, and I had been cleansed so that I might serve him with a clean heart. And see, that's why we need to come back to the cross daily. Did you sit with him today and say again, Lord, let that coal from off the altar touch me afresh today. Burn out anything in my life that doesn't belong there, that I might walk in holiness before you. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Well, we need to be reminded daily that as forgiven and redeemed children of God, our fundamental identity is no longer sinners, even though we may still struggle with some sin patterns in our lives. Rather, we are called saints because we have been set apart to God for his holy purposes, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, whose express purpose is to produce the life and fruit of God's kingdom in us. And the more we align with our true identity, and the more we allow Jesus to bind up the wounds of our past and set us free from the lies we have believed about ourselves, about God, about others, the more our behavior will come into line with who we truly are in Christ. You have been cleansed, made holy, and called to serve God with a cleansed heart. That's the second component of a go mentality. And if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, I implore you today, invite him into your life. Let him cleanse you with the fiery coal of his shed blood, which he poured out for you at the cross of Jesus Christ. And he will change you. And he will send you on missions for him. Now, with a clear vision and a cleansed heart, we're ready to give God then, component number three, an available life. An available life. This is where Isaiah says, here am I. Here am I. Have you said that to the Lord? Here am I, Lord. Listen, guys, regardless of what other gifts or abilities you may have, mark it down. The number one ability God is looking for from his servants is availability. Do you understand? I don't care how great your gifts are. If you're not available to God, they don't get put into the game. I don't care how much you feel like you don't have what you need. If you're available to God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit can make up for any weakness that you have. He's looking for availability. Here am I, Lord. In fact, I'm going to ask you at the end of this service to open your hands afresh to him today and say, Lord, I lay everything I am on your altar. Here am I, ready to be sent to wherever you want to send me, whatever assignments you want to give me. When's the last time you said that to him? Now, for all of us, this component, and I want to just kind of build a couple steps here under availability, because this component begins with a foundation, and that's a commitment to availability. It's Lord, I am available. I will do whatever you ask me to do.
I'm committed to that. In my job, in my home, in my church, in my community, with my resources. I live with one ear attuned to heaven with a heart surrendered. Lord, here am I. Use me today. That's what happened last week. Now, see, we don't have to guilt people. You have other things, maybe other assignments, but some of you took up assignments last week. Why? Because you sense in your heart, this is from the Lord. And so I'm going to support one of those girls through Hope Partners. Somebody else left and came back and said, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit, but I'm supposed to take care of that van today. That was his assignment. You see? But it begins with a commitment to availability wherever I am. Lord, here I am. How do you want to use me? Now, we have that foundation of that commitment, that heart orientation. The next step up is specific assignments. God may ask you to get involved in something that requires your initiative. It might be a project for a neighbor. It might be a ministry assignment in the community. All of us have specific assignments. Now, here again, we must not put our assignment on everybody else. Just because I have an assignment doesn't necessarily mean you have that same assignment. But if you have that heart that says, Lord, you know I'm committed. Anything you want, you've got. Then he gives me specific assignments. Now, building on that today, I want to help move some of you out of your comfort zone with another step up. And that is building on the specific assignments. Mission involvement. This could be local. Like God says, I want you to go serve in that local ministry. One time a month. 1 week out of the year, whatever it might be. And you say, well, here I am. And God says, I'm sending you to do this. Then you've got to answer that. It's a specific ministry assignment. Or it might be, I want you to go on that 10-day ministry trip. I put that in your heart because I want you to get next to that particular ministry. That's mission involvement. Part of saying, here am I, is a commitment to going. Listen, I want every one of you, I would want every one of you are still capable to say, Lord, if you've got a short-term mission assignment for me, something you put in my heart, a ministry you want me to get next to, I'm willing to go. It's mission involvement. Here's what I know. Distance, which just kind of happens when we're not involved in something. Distance begets distraction. And distraction begets apathy. Happens in my own life. Teacher asked a student one day, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? The disengaged student who hadn't a clue said, I don't know and I don't care. Bingo. Distance and distraction will lead to I don't know and I don't care. But go. Take the initiative to put yourself on the playing field and it will change everything. Why? Because proximity breeds passion and leads to sacrifice, leads to engagement. From the time I transitioned out of my senior pastor role a year ago this past March, I had been thinking of stepping down off the HPI board because I didn't feel like I had much to offer as I was no longer serving in the senior pastor role. I felt like from the senior pastor seat, I could be a voice to our church. I had great relationship with Kirk and Violetta, and they were one of our partners here in the church. But now that I'm not there, you know, John really occupies that seat. I don't know that I need to be on the board. However, I went to India last January again. And can I tell you, proximity to those girls just got my heart stoked for that ministry again. I looked into their eyes. I found myself saying, man, I wish my small group was with me here. Lord, how can we do a mission trip here? Lord, I've got some businessmen back home. I'd love to get over here because I know that proximity to the cause would develop passion for the cause and lead to a deeper level of engagement. Now, I'll return to this in just a bit, but if you're still in good health and are not limited by age or declining health, I think your here am I needs to include a specific ask. Lord, is there a ministry in which you want me to engage at a deeper level? And if so, would you say, Lord, as you lead, I'm willing to go and check it out. I'm willing to go and get engaged in a new way by actual physical proximity. Then for some of us, here's another step up. It will mean frontline Christian service. I want to say to every high school student and college graduate, maybe even some mid-20s here, I call that 0 to 25 in our lives the season of preparation. After that comes the season of perspiration. But you're still in preparation. And I want to say to you, if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, before you start making plans for anything else, you ask the Lord, Lord, would you have me serve you in a specific role in full-time, frontline Christian service? At least let him know, here I am. You call me? And I'll answer. My life changed forever the day I was praying that. I was going to be a school teacher, basketball coach, but I was passionate about possibly preaching the gospel. I knew that was a possibility. I didn't know how the Lord called people. I just said, Lord, whatever you call me to do, I will do. If you want me to become a full-time evangelist or to pastor a church, tell me somehow, and I'll do it. And that Sunday in November of 1976, walking into church, I heard the voice of God audibly, sit on the outside of the pew today because there's going to be an altar call and I want you to yield your life to preaching the gospel. And that day there was an altar call and I went forward and I nailed it down and I've never looked back. I'm just telling you, there's some of you that God is going to call to the front lines. And it begins with an orientation of the heart. Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll surrender all my plans and do what you're asking me to do. I'm not saying that you have to have an audible voice call. But I believe that before you just make your own plans, you yield it all to the Lord. And you say, here am I. Anything, anywhere, anytime. I knew that the Lord was speaking this message because the other day as I was driving home from Bloomington after having come in from Florida, I saw the back end of a big old semi that said anything, anywhere, anytime. I go, thank you, Lord. You say, my life is yours, whatever you want. Parents, listen to me. You ought to be the first to encourage your kids to pray that way. Give them up. Put them in God's hand and then get out of the way. Rather than trying to control their futures, direct them into what you want them to do. Come on, son, you need to take over for me. Now you better be talking to God about that. You want your kids to be saying, Lord Jesus, here am I. Anything, anywhere, anytime. You got it. That leads to component number 4, a surrendered schedule. And I find that in the words, send me. It's easy to say, here am I. Because at that point, it's still theoretical. But when you say, send me, and God does, now it starts messing with your life and your schedule. kind of like the chicken and the pig who belonged to Farmer Jones, and they were thinking about doing something really special to provide the best Thanksgiving meal ever this year. Chicken said to his pig friend one day, I've thought about it a lot, and I think I've got it. How we can make this the best Thanksgiving meal ever. Went on to say, I'll provide the eggs, and you provide the bacon. At which point the pig said, easy for you to say. For you, that's just small contribution. But for me, it means total commitment. I find that when my here am I is followed by a send me, a surrendered schedule, now we're down to a commitment level that sometimes raises the stakes. And it's at this point that we can begin to come up with all kinds of excuses or buy into myths that attempt to convince us that actually going is for everyone else but us. Why is that? Why is it up to somebody else to go rather than you? Here's what you'll struggle with if God asks you to surrender your schedule. And I'm just talking actually going on, say, a short-term mission for a week or two. And the enemy's great at handing these out. Myth number one, it's always easier for someone else to adjust their schedule than it is for me to adjust mine. That's a myth. Even when I was in high school and I was asked to go to Guatemala on my first mission assignment outside of the United States, I was excited, but then it hit me. I'm not going to be able to practice basketball for several hours today. Someone else might get ahead of me. And I won't be making money. I won't be out baling straw with Dad and making money if I go for 3 weeks. But I want to tell you, I'm glad I surrendered my schedule and went, because it actually became the event that God used to lead me to frontline ministry. On the backside of that experience, I received all kinds of opportunities to share about our experience, different churches calling because they knew who I was from my basketball and everything else. And I would go into these churches. I found myself like preaching my first messages. They weren't any good, but people were coming up and going, man, I think God's called you to be a preacher. And I'd be going, I don't know of anything right now, anything that's ever felt more fulfilling than when I'm sharing the word of God with other people. That's what God laid as the foundation to later call me into ministry. And it's because I went. Then in seminary, when Susan and I sensed God leading us on a summer mission assignment, I had every excuse in the book. I won't be making money. Susan will have to leave her job and won't be making money. We have bills to pay. Where am I going to get money for the next semester? All of this type. I have to raise our funds. How are we going to do this? But because God had clearly spoken, we went on the assignment. God used it in our lives. And my first day back at class, I found out that the president of the seminary had gone out and raised funds that summer for each of us students who had gone and had raised enough that my first semester was paid for the very first day of class. Unbelievable. You say, send me, listen to me, and God's will for you is God's bill for you. He'll figure it out. He'll find a way to provide. It's a spiritual axiom. Where God guides, he provides. Myth number two, I'm busier than other people. Right? Like God only calls those who are sitting around and have nothing to do. Every call in Scripture was to someone who was fully engaged in their life elsewhere and could have said, Lord, here am I, but send Bob. He's not as busy as I am. It's a myth. Myth number three, I'll go when it's more convenient. Listen, if God makes it clear that he wants you to go, you better go. There will never be a time in your life that is more convenient, because the things you think make it inconvenient now will be replaced by other things later on. I remember that in terms of when I was thinking of getting my doctorate. Well, I can't do my doctorate because I'm busy in the church right now and have young kids. And then years later, well, I can't do my doctorate now because my kids are going to be going to college and I'm busy with a large church and I'm traveling. I can't, you know. And here I am now, 64, and I haven't got my doctorate. And it's okay, because now I really don't want to go get a doctorate, you know? But you see what I'm saying is that every time I had an excuse, because it'll be more convenient some other time. And that's a myth. It never gets more convenient. There's always other things filling up your life. That's why when you surrender and say, send me, it's me, it's a surrender of schedule. So let's just lay down the myths and excuses and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever, whenever, wherever. You make it clear and I'll go. So I want to close by talking about how goes happen. Things you can do to take a step towards going. And I'm just saying to you, I'm on that second step today. You know, I'm beyond that hard inclination, beyond specific assignments in your life and in your neighborhood. I'm up to that next level for most of you saying, would you give a week or two somewhere if God makes that clear that he wants you to move into closer proximity because he wants to stir your heart with greater passion for that thing that he cares about and he wants you to care about? Here's your step. Here's the S. Start praying. Lord, as an act of surrender to you, I am willing to go even physically if you lead me and let me know that there's something you want me to do. Start praying. Here's the T. Target a place. I would ask you, what's on your heart? What do you care most deeply about in the world or with one of our partners? Is there a particular partner or ministry you really care about and you would like to get closer to? We'll help make it happen. You can go with a ministry team from here. There's going to be many of those over the next year or two or three. Target a place. That's part of your step. Here's the E. Establish a time. Take your calendar and say, at this particular time in the next 2 years, I'm going to plan on taking a week or 10-day ministry trip. Parents, if you can do this with your kids, I would say 12, 13 or above, giving them firsthand experience on a ministry trip, it could be life-changing for them. But when you go on one of our ministry trips from Northwoods, we'll also help you with a plan for raising the funds and other aspects of the trip. You don't let those be your excuses. You just get out your calendar and say, where and when could I kind of establish a time to go? Chart it out. And then here's the P, plan to go. Plan to go. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm willing to go, actually turn it around and say, Lord, I will plan to go unless you make it clear you want me to stay. Man, that's turning it on its head because most people are willing to go, but they're planning to stay. I want you to be planning to go, but willing to stay if that's what the Lord makes clear to you. Hear my Lord. Send me. May that be the orientation of your heart, such that you pray that every day. And then, Lord, wherever you want me to take initiative, got it. Will you stand with me? I want you to pray just heads bowed, hearts connected. Every adult in this room today, you're a follower of Jesus. He gave his all for you, came from heaven to earth for you, surrendered his life on a cross for you. Will you just tell the Lord again as an act of surrender today, Lord, whatever assignment, open your hands, whatever assignments you have for me, Lord, here am I, send me. Help me to live with a go mentality, either going myself or supporting those who are going in my place. Whatever you ask me, Lord, you got it. And then young people today, I'm going to ask something. I don't know why I've never done this in 32 years, knowing what God did for me. Why I've never done this in 37 years of being in the senior role in the pastorate. I never, ever, ever until today put out a call like the call that came to me. And I'm not saying that in answering it, you're saying, yes, I'm going to go be a missionary, or yes, I'm going to preach the gospel, whatever. You're saying by coming today, I'm going to say to you who are 15 years of age up to probably 25, I want you to step out where you are right now, like I had to one day, as a way of saying, Lord, first and foremost in my life, if there is something you want me to do in ministry for you, you've got it. 15 to 25, if that's you, I want you to step out, come right down here. I want to pray with you today. We'll allow other people to leave. I want to pray with you and just speak into your life. You come right now. Don't be afraid of what mom or dad are going to say. Don't be afraid of what your other kids are going to say. I'm coming saying, Lord, you want me on the front lines of ministry. I'll do it. Come on. Give it up for these guys. These guys that are in their moments of preparation right now. Lord, first things first. Amen. 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 Lord, here am I. Send me. And you let him be the determiner of that. Guys, you stay here because we're going to pray and I'm going to send them out and I want to just see you. We're going to gather it on. Thank you for your willingness to come today. God sees your heart. Father, we say thank you now. Thank you that you're Lord today. No matter what's going on around us in a world that's fallen apart, we've been in the throne room and we affirm that Jesus is Lord. He's still in control. I thank you for your cleansing today, Lord. That not a one of us has to go unclean because your cross, as we engage with you, has cleansed us for every purpose you might want for us. You've wrapped us in your righteousness. You've clothed us with garments of righteousness so that we can say today, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me whatever assignment you want. That's my assignment. As we yield our hearts to you afresh, I thank you for these young people today. I wish I was their age again, Lord. Man, the day you came, spoke into my heart and said, Cal, I want you to preach the gospel. It's the holiest moment of my life. Make that a holy moment for these guys. Mark it forever. That there was a day I surrendered at the altar and I said yes to Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you know how to assign exactly what you want them to do for you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen, amen. God, give it up to the Lord, huh? God bless you guys. You stay to eight. Come right up here on the stage. I want to see you. Come right up here on the stage. I want to see you guys.
Well, thank you, Pastor Cal, for just a great message on living with that go mentality. Just always good to have him back.
So it is June, and Father's Day is around the corner. Yep. So for all you fathers, please join us on Saturday, June 17. The link is right here below. And, you know, there's going to be a really, really cool event. So there's going to be cars and hog roast and a lot of family fun activities. So please join us.
Yes, for the whole family.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So thank you again for being with us this morning. We hope you come back next week as Pastor John is back and talking about just standing in the gap when God is looking for people around to just stand in the gap and stand with him, even when others are falling away. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great message. We hope to see you next week.